I'm Mary Angish. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
When I was a kid, we used to have a property across the street that had grapes growing, and did we ask permission? No, but we used to eat a lot of the grapes that were growing there. It's such a nice summertime memory. And you are going to tell us about all different kinds of varieties that actually grow really well here. And we don't need a whole vineyard.
Yeah, that's the great part about grapes. If you have three or four vines, you can feed your whole family with them.
Wow.
And the grapes I'm talking about are ones that are for fresh eating, like the seedless varieties, and then ones that have seeds in them, but you use them mostly for juices and jams and jelly making,
That
kind of thing. So for the seedless varieties, there's a new one out from Cornell called Everest Seedless, and this is a big Concord. It's like a Concord grape on steroids. It's a big one. It's only hardy, though, in Zone 5, so you're thinking southern Vermont, Champlain Valley, Connecticut River Valley, those kind of areas. If you want to try a red seedless, Canidus is another nice one out of Cornell. That one's good for Zones 4 or 5, kind of marginal, but the real winner for Vermont is Red Somerset Seedless Grape.
Okay.
This one is a little champagne grape. It's just a small little guy. Hardy to Zone 3, so you can grow them even up in the Northeast Kingdom, and they come back consistently every year and mature in August, which is a little early for them. So I brought some in for you to taste. You can do a taste test of them.
Okay, so the grape is they're quite small.
Right.
They're about the size, like slightly larger than like a green pea almost.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Tiny on a cluster. Mm-hmm. Has a nice pink blush look to it. Ooh.
What does it taste like?
It tastes like childhood. It tastes very similar.
I brought
similar.
Your childhood bag for you. There you go.
Yeah.
If you want to grow some table grapes like those, that's great. If you want to grow juice grapes, there's lots of varieties. Concord, Bluebell, Swenson Red, Idlewise, Valiant. If you're growing your grapes, look for a place where you can just have a row, about 3 feet wide. And it could be against the garage, a barn, a wall, anywhere, any place like that. And then you want to put some posts in them about 6 feet apart and plant your grapes there. And then run a wire about 4 feet high between the posts all the way down, because you're going to trellis your grapes eventually onto that wire. And the first year, you just put a stake in, you make sure you have your main trunk growing up, you cut off all the side branches, just have that one grow up. When it grows up to where the wire is, you cut the top off, let the two side branches go off, and then you just attach those side branches to the wire. Then the second year, you want to prune off all the grapes that are coming, and by the third year, you're going to start getting grapes. And a nice thing about grapes is that you can prune it back by 70% late winter, early spring. Take off all the growth from that main trunk and all the old growth, and you're still going to get a ton of grapes. So you don't need a lot of space.
Wow.
Other people like grapes too, though, like the birds and the squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to put some kind of netting up to protect them from that. Our grapes grow really well, and they grow too well. They have too much foliage, and so the moisture gets trapped in there, and the grapes rot. So this year, in the middle of the summer, I pruned them back. I pruned back a lot of that new growth that was coming out. And so now I have this abundance of beautiful grapes that are looking really nice and really healthy.
Oh, wow. How fun. A couple questions for you, Charlie. The first one's from Liana. I have a garden that goes right up to the sidewalk that I just transformed from grass to perennials this spring. I want the edge to be wildflowers. Can I plant these wildflowers in the fall, or should I wait until spring?
Fall is fine, actually. I did look at the photo, and you do have some bark mulch, I believe, on there. So you're going to have to remove that in the area where you want to seed it. Sprinkle the seed in there. You usually get a mix that's annuals, biennials, and perennials in there. And you want to do it not now, but in the fall, like later fall. October sometime is probably a good time to do that, because you don't want these seeds to be germinating now and then die in the winter. Keep it well watered, maybe cover it over with a little grass clippings from an untreated lawn, something like that, to keep it moist. It should be fine, and by next spring, you should have flowers.
Beautiful. Jess in Montpelier writes, I have a relatively small shady yard. On one side, my neighbor's 30-foot cedar hedge shades most of my lawn. I don't mind shade, but I can't get anything to grow on the side. The landscape plants that haven't died are small and stunted, so I'm guessing it has something to do with the cedar root system, too. Any advice for what might survive or thrive alongside cedars?
Yes. Well, there are some things that'll thrive, but the first thing, as you're noting, they have to take care of is all the root system of the cedars. So I would say try doing a raised bed. So build a raised bed away from the cedars. It won't harm the cedars. And put some nice soil in there and make it about a foot or so deep. And then you could put in some shrubs that'll tolerate the shade. So things like yew bushes or boxwoods that don't really flower. But even some hydrangeas, some of the native hydrangeas, the oak leaf hydrangea or the arborescence hydrangea might do okay in those kind of conditions.
Any questions about your garden, send them to Charlie at gardening@vermontpublic.org, and listen to this where you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And I'll be seeing you in the garden.